Good morning. I want to invite you to take God's word and turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. So grateful you're here today. I know many of you are watching online, and we welcome you into our services as well. We are in week four of this series we are calling The Essential Church. And essentially what we have done is take a deep dive at the core values that make up Champion Forest, that should make up Champion Forest. And if you're visiting with us, for the first time, we welcome you, and maybe you're wanting to know, what is Champion Forest all about? I would encourage you to catch up on these messages, because this series should tell you. And you can download all of the messages from the previous weeks on our Champion Forest app on your phone. I encourage you to do that. You can listen to it on the way to work, listen to it while you're working out. If you're having trouble sleeping, turn it on. It'll put you right to sleep, all right? And we want you to catch up on the messages, and this is week four. And if you are a member of Champion Forest, no matter how long you've been coming, I hope this series is serving as a reminder to you of what we're to be about. I hope it's reinforcing some essentials that we need to be rallying around and that we need to be embracing and living out as a faith community. Now, the essential that we're talking about today is the essential of giving. And the title of the message, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. All of the references that we look at will be on the screen for you today. The title of the message is The Heart of a Giver. The goal of every Christian. And I just want to highlight and underscore the fact that I am speaking to Christians today. This is the target audience. I'm speaking to those who have professed faith in Christ, claim Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. I'm speaking to you today. The goal of every person that names the name of Christ is to emulate him, to be like him. Paul, in writing to the believers in Ephesus, said Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God. The very word Christian, it means little Christ. It was first used to describe the disciples that were attending the church, the churches in Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians, little Christ. People saw these men and women who were committed to Jesus, who were walking in his ways, following in his footsteps, and they watched their behavior. They listened in on their conversations. They observed their lifestyle. And they called these people Christians. They looked like little Christ walking around. C.S. Lewis, great author, professor of English at Oxford University, wrote in his classic Mere Christianity, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. If they're not doing that, all of the cathedrals and clergy and missions and sermons, even the Bible itself, are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose." The goal of the gospel is to take people, men, women, and boys and girls who are far from God, to bring them into a relationship with him and turn them in to little Christ. That's what the church should be full of. People who are little Christ, they can be described in this way. And the argument that I want to put forward today is that we are never more like Jesus. We are never more looking like little Christ than when we are when we're giving. Think about it. All of Jesus' life and ministry was about giving. He came and he gave grace to those who didn't deserve it. He gave mercy to those who didn't ask for it. He gave power to those who had none. He gave hope to those who were broken. He gave love to the unlovely. He gave his very life to save us from our sins. His whole life was a life of giving. And so if we're to emulate him, if we're to be like him, if we are to be little Christ, we have to learn to give as well. Now, next week, we're going to come back and finish up this Essential Church series, and we're going to talk about serving. And in that message, we're going to highlight what it means to give our life, our time, our talents to the Lord through the use of our spiritual gifts. This week, we're going to talk about giving as it relates to our resources, because this is a significant part of the Christian life. I want to remind you, I'm talking to believers today. And Jesus knew that the giving of our material resources was a reflection of our spiritual health. It reveals where our heart is. Our giving reveals what we're putting our hope in. Our giving reveals where our priorities lie. And in the text we're looking at today, we're going to see Jesus hold up a very unlikely candidate and hold them up as an example of what it means to have the heart of a giver. And that's what I emphasize in the message today. It's the heart of a giver. Because what we're going to see is the amount, it doesn't impress Jesus at all. What Jesus is after is our heart. I love this passage of scripture. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41, reading through verse 44, the Bible says this: "And he sat down opposite of the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. And many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who were contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" Now, I know when you were on the way to church this morning, you were talking with your family in the car, your spouse, and you were saying, "You know, I really hope when we get to church today, the pastor talks about giving." I know that's what the conversation was on the way over here. I know it. There's something about when we talk about giving, when we talk about money, our finances, our resources, especially when we talk about it in the church, it can cause some to cringe a little bit. I mean, let's be honest. For some, maybe you were a part of a building program in the past or at some other church, and it just left a bad taste in your mouth. Or maybe you're at a previous church and you saw indiscretion in the finances. There was a lack of integrity there, some impropriety there, and it just left you kind of cynical. It left you disappointed in the church. I told our executive team this past week, and I was on a Zoom with our budget and finance committee. So many members of this church make up our budget and finance committee. They're so wonderful, great, capable. And I told them, as I told the executive team, you know, the things that can trip ministers up are the three F's, right? Females, finances, and fame, okay? Or as you know it, the three G's: gold, glory, and girls, all right? And so I just told them that as a ministry team, we've got to be above reproach in this. Like, we can't give the enemy a bat to hit us with. We need to be pure, above reproach. I don't know what it is that makes us cringe when we talk about money in the church, but the truth is we shouldn't cringe at all, because Jesus has an awful lot to say about our money and our possessions. In fact, 2,300 verses are dedicated to what we're to do with our money, our possession, our finances. And we get some insights in this passage of scripture today as to what Jesus thinks about giving. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write it down. First, I want you to note from this text that Jesus sees what we give. Did you see it there in verse number 41? "And he sat down opposite of the treasury, and he watched the people putting money into the offering box." The word "watch" there, it's in its imperfect tense, which means Jesus was continually watching those that were coming by and putting in their offering that day. Pretty amazing, isn't it, to think Jesus is the ultimate people watcher. And he sees us. He sees us give, and he sees what we give. I put out on my social media this weekend, on Friday, I turned in the final edits on my second book that's due out this summer. It's called The Always God. He never changes, and you're not forgotten. I wrote it during the quarantine last year, and it's just this truth that our God is the always God. And the fact is, he's always here, he's always present, he's always working in our lives, and he's always faithful. That's the idea of the book. And one of the chapters is called Always Seeing. And it has to do with exactly what we're talking about today, with the fact that nothing gets past God. He sees us. He sees everything happening to us. For the kids in the room that are familiar with Monsters, Inc., he's like Roz, all right? He's always watching. Always. The scripture tells us, Psalm chapter 33, verses 13 through 15, the Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Four times in this passage of scripture, the word all is used. God sees all people. He sees all our deeds. You better believe he sees what we give. He sees everything. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and good. Job 34:21, for his eyes are on the ways of a man, and he sees all of his steps. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. I think sometimes we have this image in our mind of the eternal God, and we think, you know what, he's kind of up in his years. He's kind of old. Probably doesn't see like he used to. Probably needs to take naps every now and then, misses some things that are taking place. Just a little old, a little forgetful. And we're tempted to think that God isn't seeing what's going on in our lives and what we're doing with our lives. The fact is, though, Jesus does see. And our text informs us today that he is always watching. And as it relates to our giving, he sees what we give. And again, it's not the amount that's important to him. Jesus wasn't impressed that these rich people were putting in large sums of money. What really wowed him is this poor widow that put in two small copper coins that barely amount to that of a penny. And so the question becomes, what is Jesus looking for when we give? If it's not the amount, what's he looking for? You know what the answer is? He's looking at your heart. He sees what we give. But secondly, Jesus sees why we give. I don't know where this, God gave me this statement first. I've had it in my time alone with the Lord every morning. And one of the first things I do is read the proverb of the day. If you read the Proverbs, it speaks a lot about the motives of the heart. And one day God just gave me this statement that he weighs the why. God always weighs the why. Like, he's not just keeping a record of what we do. He's keeping a record of why we do what we do. Scripture says God discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's not just action that he sees. He sees motive. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord, he weighs the heart. He weighs the why. This is what pleased Jesus about that widow's offering that day. He saw why she gave what she gave. He saw what it was costing her. He saw how she was sacrificing. And he makes this judgment in verse 43. Her tiny little offering was more than any offering that anybody put in that day. He saw her heart. All the others were giving out of their abundance. This poor woman was giving out of her poverty. She was giving everything she had. In fact, you see it there in verse 44. She put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Just underline those two words, live on. It's one word in the original language, the word bios, where we get the word life. Jesus looks at her and says, this woman gave her life. And he commends her for it. Let's not ever think that our giving's about the amount. I'm not saying the amount's not important. I'm just saying the amount doesn't impress Jesus. He evaluates our giving on a different standard. It's not just he sees what we give. He sees why we give it. Listen, Jesus, he doesn't need our money. I mean, come on, God's not up in heaven, hard up on his luck. He's not pacing the floor, wringing his hands, waiting on the next economic revival. He doesn't need a pay raise. Everything is his. This is the testimony of Scripture. He owns it all. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 12. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills is mine. I know all the birds of the hills and all that moves in the field, it's mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. God doesn't need our money. And he's not watching what we give, thinking if you would have just put in 10 more dollars, then I would have approved. If you'd have just put in 100 more dollars, then I would have sent a breakthrough. No, this text teaches us that it's not about what we put into the offering. It's about what we put out in faith and sacrifice to God. Again, he sees the heart. Listen to this quote by A.W. Tozer, very convicting. He says this, before the judgment seat of Christ, my service will be judged not by how much I have done, but by how much I could have done. In God's sight, my giving is measured not by how much I have given, but how much I could have given and how much I had left after I made my gift. This poor widow gave everything that she had to live on. And Jesus said, in her sacrifice, way that she gave, what she gave more than everybody else to put in the offering that day. Jesus sees what we give. Jesus sees why we give. Third and finally, I want you to notice in the scripture, Jesus sees how we give. Context of this passage of scripture, it's Passover. And so there are thousands of people in Jerusalem and in and around the temple. And the place where the treasury is located was a very busy part of the temple. Women and children were allowed in that part of the temple. And so there was a lot of foot traffic there. Scholars tell us that in the treasury there were 13 chests, if you will. Various offerings could go into, temple taxes could be paid there, and all of these chests had a large trumpet-like receptacle made of brass that you tossed your money into. And so you can imagine the sound that it made as you put coins into these receptacles that went down into the chest. The more coins you put in, the louder it was. And don't you know that those who are proud of themselves were walking by, putting in their large amount of coins, and the more noise it made, the more heads turned, more attention they got, the more proud of themselves they were. Now, in this same conversation that's happening, right, as Jesus sits down to observe the treasury, he's already nailing the religious scribes and the Pharisees, teachers of the law, for their hypocrisy. I mean, just look back at verses 38 through 40. The same conversation, same time. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes. They like greetings in marketplaces, have the best seats in the synagogue, the places of honor at feasts, who devour the widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." Jesus doesn't hold anything back. Again, he sees what we do, and he sees why we do it. And he looks right through these religious leaders, these teachers of the law, and he says, "You're doing this for pretense. You're doing this to put on a show. You're not doing this because you have a heart for God. You're doing this to be noticed." Don't be like that. Don't be like people trying to turn the heads of others when you give. Instead, be like this poor widow. God, I want to remind you today, can't stand pretense. Despises it. Hypocrisy. His very first sermon, when he's teaching the people on the hillside, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." See, Jesus sees how we give. And that day, he saw these rich people putting these large amounts of money, their chest out, proud of themselves. I mean, these were people who could strut sitting down. Jesus sees this and says, "Don't be like that." Oh, they turned some heads that day because the amount of money they put in. But you want to know what really moves me in this passage of Scripture? It's what moved Jesus. This widow puts in her money. It didn't turn any heads, but it turned the head of the one that mattered. It turned Jesus' head. He looks at it. He says, "Look at how she gives. In humility, in faith, she gave all. In sacrifice, she gave with no desire to be noticed." What a contrast. I thought about a contrast this week. I was studying this passage of Scripture, and I thought about Luke chapter 18. Do you remember the parable Jesus tells about the tax collector and the Pharisee? He sets up this contrast. Starting in verse 9 of Luke chapter 18, he tells this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He said, "Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.'" Contrast. "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, and he beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus sees what we give. Jesus sees why we give. And Jesus sees how we give. For a show, for a pretense. He sees when we give begrudgingly. Gotta give. You remember the Scripture, the law of the harvest? Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're going to give and be upset about it, just keep it. Again, he's after our heart.
That's what he wants. He wants to form in all of us the heart of a giver. And if you are in the room today and you're watching online and you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have Christ in you. And if you have Christ in you, I'm telling you, you have the heart of a giver. It's there because Christ is there. He wants to form that heart of a giver in you. Make us generous in our giving. You know, I found, this is church, we can be honest, right? I found most of us are very giving. We're just giving to ourselves. What Jesus wants us to do is he wants to save us, wants us to know him, essential number one, wants us to abide in him, essential number two, grow in him. And what he wants to do is he grows us in him, is he just wants to grow our hearts, wants us to live with generous hearts, with open hands. People should look at us as individuals and look at our church, and just by seeing the way that we give, see, that's a church full of little Christ right there. That's a little Christ right there, simply by the way that we give. As most of you are aware, I'm on month one. This is the last day of being on the job here at Champion Forest. And I'm loving every minute of it. I got to tell you, I sent an email out this week to the church. If you have a church email, thank you. If you have a church email, you got a video from me simply from my heart just saying thank you. My family and I, we are so grateful for how you've opened up your arms to us and welcomed us. We're honored to be here and so excited about the future and what God's going to do here at Champion Forest. And part of that is I'm just trying to get to know Champion Forest. So I'm spending a lot of time talking to people. I'm having one-on-ones with every minister on our staff and hope to have it with all of the staff. And at this rate, I'll be done with the number of people on our staff at all of our campus by early next year. All right, so pray for me. But I've loved getting to know everybody on our staff and just hearing their story and praying with them, asking questions about the church. And you know what? One of the things that I've found as it relates to this heart of a giver, Champion Forest, I've noticed just in my conversations that this is you. Like, you exhibit what we're talking about today, having the heart of a giver. I saw it at the dream banquet we had. We ended the night and we just said, you know what, just in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr., we want to open up an offering that goes over and above our regular giving, just an offering to give to a ministry that is in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. And we opened up this offering and you gave, do you realize, you gave, we this past week we had Kim, I want to make sure I get her name, Kelly Martins, who leads the Lighthouse for Students ministry out of Worthing High School in the Sunnyside neighborhood. Do you realize in one announcement, just a little bit of giving over and above, we had her come into our all-staff chapel. We were able to present her with a $2,000 check to her ministry that's helping out these students at Worthing High School because of you. We prayed for her. We celebrated what Lighthouse for Students is doing. Our staff, man, it was awesome. You exhibit the heart of a giver. You realize last year, Champion Forest, you gave nearly $1.5 million to mission causes all over the world. Do you realize that? You gave to church planters all over North America who are in hard-to-reach cities, and they're in cities that are high population but low evangelical birth rate, and you gave to these church planters who are in the ground sharing the gospel. You gave nearly $1.5 million to church plants and to foreign missionaries that are all over the world sharing the gospel, building the church, planting churches. Nearly $1.5 million. You did that. You exhibit the heart of a giver. I went to our community mission center this past week. Hadn't been out there. Wanted to tour it. Did you know that from March of 2020 to January the 26th of 2021, just this past week, do you realize, Champion Forest, you gave out 10,875 boxes and bags of groceries to families in need? That's 217,500 pounds of food meeting the physical needs right here in our community, right in the shadow of our church. You did that. You exhibit the heart of a giver. We partner with Champions for Hope, this ministry that feeds the homeless here in Houston. Even during COVID, they were going out, hardly missed any time at all, feeding 40 to 50 homeless people a day. That's you that's done that. You exhibit the heart of a giver. This doesn't count our benevolence ministry. This doesn't count disaster relief, hurricane relief, and things of the past like when Harvey hit. Jimmy, before, you have the heart of a giver. You've exhibited it over and over and over again. And I told you at the outset, this message is directed toward believers. And more specifically than that, it's directed toward members of Champion Forest. And I hope you know that those of you who are in the game and you're giving, I want this to be an encouragement to you. Your giving is making a difference. And here's the thing. Jesus, he doesn't just see what we give. He doesn't just see why we give. He doesn't just see how we give. The Bible says, you know, that'd be enough if Jesus saw it. That'd be enough for me. If Jesus sees it and is honored by it, that'd be enough. But the Bible goes so far to say, and Jesus says, he doesn't just see our giving, but he rewards our giving. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's the promise of Scripture over and over and over again. A heart that is giving, God will always honor it, always reward it. Matthew 6, verses 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his what? Reward. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I could go on and on and on and on and on. God always rewards the heart of a giver. And that just means he's going to reward you financially. And this isn't some prosperity gospel we're peddling here today. If you give financially, God's just going to give you more financially in return. If you give financially, all your problems are going to go away. You're never going to get sick. You're never going to have any issues. No, that's not it at all. What God does when he forms in you the heart of a giver and you begin to give, he rewards you with an abundance of things and stuff that matters. Like he'll reward you with joy in the kingdom. He'll reward you with peace on the inside. He'll reward you with a sense of purpose and mission that wakes you up in the morning. He'll reward you with an awareness of his manifest presence in your life. Oh, he'll reward your giving, all right, but you know what he'll reward you with? Himself. That's what's really, really good. And so if you're in the game, a member of Champion Forest, and you're giving, I just want you to know that God will reward the heart of a giver. And I want you to know that your giving is making a difference. And if you are a member of Champion Forest, and you're not in the game on giving, I want to encourage you to start today. And just watch what God does. I'm telling you, there is nothing like living with a generous heart and an open hand. It's the heart of a giver. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those of you that have joined us online, I want to encourage you to just bow with me in prayer right where you're at if you're able. You know, the scripture says that God is a giving God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and says, praise God for the inexpressible gift. Who is he talking about? He was talking about Jesus. Our God is a giving God. And he gave his son for us so that we could have a personal relationship with the God who created us. And listen, I know there is 1, 2, 3, 4 people here. Maybe you're new to the area and you came to church today. Maybe you were invited by a friend. And I'm telling you, God brought you here today so that you could hear that God gave his son for you. And if you've never had your sins forgiven, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do it right now. Just in your own heart, pray and ask God right now to forgive you of your sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't line up to God's holiness. All of us have sinned. That's an easy admission. And you can say, God, forgive me of my sin. And then a simple prayer of faith. Again, God sees what's in your heart. It's not about what you say. It's about what's in your heart. And so in faith, pray and ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, come live in my life. I believe that you died for me. That you shed your blood to cleanse me from my sin. You died to make me right with God. I believe that you were raised to life. Lord, I'm asking you to come in and be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Just pray it in your own words. God, save me. Some of you need to leave here today not giving, but receiving the gift of eternal life that God is extending to you today. So you just pray, God, save me. And I'm telling you, God hears that prayer. There's others of you that you've been visiting Champion Forest for a while now and you want to join this church. You know, no church is a perfect church, but I can tell you this, there are wonderful people here and we are committed to lifting high the name of Jesus, to preaching his word unapologetically, to having true fellowship. You want to be a part of a church like that? I'm going to invite you in just a moment when we stand to sing. I'm going to invite you to come forward and just tell the pastor that's at the head of each of these aisles, I want to join the church. And when you say that, we'll sign you up for our new members class. We'd love to have you join our church. We had a new membership class last week. We had 29 new members join our church last week. That's awesome. Praise God for that. And so you can come forward and we'll sign you up for our next class. Others of you may just need prayer. And that's what we're here to do. I mean, our pastors are here. There's nothing we'd like more to do today than to pray for you. And maybe there's a request in your life. You need God to give you something today. I mean, you need him to give you some peace that you don't have. You need God to give you a purpose that you don't have. You need God to give you some forgiveness that you don't have. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe we just need to pray for, man, I need a soft heart. I need to respond to this message that I heard today. We don't need to let our hearts grow hard. The Bible says, don't let your hearts be hardened, but soften your hearts. Maybe today you just need to come and say, I need my heart softened. I want to be obedient. Whatever decision you're making today, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand to sing. And as soon as we begin singing, our pastors are going to be at the front of each of these aisles. In the balcony, they're going to be right there at those exit signs. You don't have to come all the way down here. You can go right to them, and you just tell that pastor what decision you're making. I'm trusting in Christ. I want to join the church. I want to be baptized. I need prayer. Whatever decision you're making, your only job in this time of response is to do what God's telling you to do. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, this is your invitation. Where you've spoken to hearts, Father, we want to move by faith. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Be honored in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.